D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Derek and I are live at 5 Iron Golf, 202 21st Avenue South in Midtown. Come on out. We've got a 2 hour of golf and a Trackman golf simulator voucher here, a $180 value. It can be yours for free if you stop by and enter our raffle. You still have time. 615-737-1025. But let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our dear friend, John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Now, John, you publicized why you've been on the shelf for the past few months. And for those who do not know, if you are comfortable, I would love for you to share it because I'm so glad that you're doing so well.
Yeah, thank you. That's kind of the reason I did put it on a post is that I had been out for so long, off the radar, hadn't been posting anything for about 3 months. And it was early January that I got diagnosed with cancer, multiple myeloma. Materialized, I guess, in my lower back is where we found it the most. I had thought I just had like a serious back injury from working out. Turned out, I had to be admitted to the hospital after 3 ER visits, and they diagnosed the cancer a couple days later. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks initially, got, all kinds of radiation treatments, and I'm still in the process of getting, treatments, chemo and immuno treatments, and certainly not at 100%, but I think I've really made some progress, as I say, from the fact that I couldn't really get out of bed, certainly without a walker or a cane, at all for, 3 months ago. And, just the other day I did a mile with my cane yesterday. So it sounds like small potatoes compared to a guy, for a guy who is very active working out, but, strides in the right direction, much less pain, much greater mobility. So I feel like I'm on the, a good path, and I'm back writing again and, back talking to you guys again. So we're feeling good about things.
Yes, absolutely. We're so glad to hear you're doing so well. We all love you, so we're glad to have you back in
Thank
the
you.
Fold. So, John, I'll let you decide. Would you rather start with the local professional football team or the local professional hockey team?
Oh, why not? You guys are a little hockey flagship there. Let's start off with a little hockey. What do you say?
All right, let's do it. So let's start with the Predators. You've covered this team from the very beginning. You have seen a lot of remarkable things in the Predators' history. If this Predators team, which was as much as, if I recall correctly, 11 points out of a playoff spot at one point this season, finishes the job in the regular season and makes the playoffs, where would that rank among the most remarkable things you've seen from this team?
Now, that's a good question, but it would certainly be among the more remarkable things that I have witnessed. I think for the vast majority of this season, we would have to say that the Predators were definitely an underachieving team, and that continued what we saw last year, unfortunately. And that was the reason at the trade deadline that, they were sellers and got rid of 4 regulars in the lineup, and Bunting, McCarron, Cole Smith, and I'm trying to think of the Blankenberg also. I guess you could say effectively wave the white towel at that point. And certainly everyone who was following them closely expected them to kind of drop off a cliff. And instead, they've turned things around the other way. They're 9-5-2 since the trade deadline and 3-0-1 on this most important of all 5-game road trips. They've got that second wild card spot right now. They still need the Kings to lose at least a game for sure. We know that. But they're winning hockey games, against all odds at this most crucial period. The leaders are doing what they should be. They're producing the most. They're scoring key goals. And I think they're getting, you know, big contributions, or not big contributions, but the youngsters are chipping in enough to help out as well. And they're certainly not an overwhelming team. I don't think anybody who watches the Preds on a regular basis watches them night in and night out, even when they're winning, and says, boy, that is a great team. That's another great win. But they're finding ways to come out with those victories. And, you know, the way things are going right now, I feel like their chances are pretty good to make that playoff.
So, John, let's switch gears to the Tennessee Titans. I do want to ask you a question that the three of us discussed early in the show. I'm sure you've heard and written a lot about Jeremiah Love and the Titans drafting Jeremiah Love with the number 4 overall pick in the draft in a couple of weeks. But here's my question for you. If the Titans don't draft Jeremiah Love and the offensive weaponry around Cam Ward is basically the same as it was last year, Ridley, DK, Aya Manor, Helm, Pollard, Spears, you add Wandale Robinson. But if that's the crew around Cam Ward, how confident are you that he can level up in year 2?
Well, I think they would be doing a large disservice to Cam Ward if they went in that direction. You know, I think even if they didn't take Love in the first round, you know, I still think they wind up taking a wide receiver at some point, you know, fairly early on to help out Ward. But, yeah, I mean, you look at last year going into Cam Ward's first year, and they really didn't address the pass catchers until the fourth round, you know, to give Cam Ward some help in his first year. You look at what they did here in free agency in 2026 so far, you know, and it's very heavily weighted, the biggest moves. I think you could argue that 4 out of the top 5 moves they made have been weighted towards the defense. You look at Jermaine Johnson, the trade for him. You look at a couple corner signings and Cordell Flott, Alante Taylor, the addition of John Franklin Myers at defensive tackle. Really, offensively, the only significant help for Cam Ward is, as you mentioned, Wandale Robinson, and he's a slot receiver who's good but not great. So I kind of think you mentioned Jeremiah Love. I would not be opposed in any way to taking Jeremiah Love at number 4. I think that does give Cam Ward that much-needed offensive boost right away. And really, as you look at the various clips and scouting reports of Jeremiah Love, it's very, very hard to pick out any weaknesses in his game. You know, most running backs, when they're coming into the league, even the great rushers, sometimes they're not great. Pass catchers, sometimes they're not great. Blockers in the passing game. Really, Jeremiah Love checks off all the important boxes in all those categories, you know, and he's kind of a breakaway threat that the Titans have needed for years on offense. I'm in on Jeremiah Love at number 4 if he's available. I know there are other good options available defensively, but give me someone right away who can help out Cam Ward.
Now, John, where do you think this, you know, as far as, you know, the things that they've done from a free agency standpoint, we know that this team is far from being complete. But do you think they go into, after the draft, into the second half of free agency, do you think they go in there hard like they did the first half, or do you think they pretty much, you know, they draft and then they assess and then they sort of cherry pick who they're going to get? Because they still need guys, whether it be backups, veteran guys, or other guys that can come in and play key roles.
Yeah, I agree with you. There are definitely still roles and you know, holes to be filled, whether they do that in the draft or post-draft in free agency. But, you know, certainly the offensive line, I think, you know, they've added a couple guys who may or may not be starters, maybe are contenders for starting roles. You know, guys like Austin Slotman, who's a center, Cordell Volson, who's a guard. But are those guys really the ones they want starting at those two positions? I'm not sure. I think they would like to find better alternatives in a perfect world. So the offensive line strikes me as a you know, significant area where they're still looking for help. As we talked about earlier, depending on what they do at wide receiver in the draft, that's another area that can certainly still be beefed up despite the addition of Wandale Robinson. I like what they've done at corner at free agency so far. I think those are, you know, they've really signed three guys that could be the top three corners for next year. That's certainly possible. They look at some of the other positions. Maybe tight end still. I know they signed Daniel Bellinger, you know, who doesn't have great numbers with the Giants. And I think there's still depth to be added there, you know, especially with the loss of Chig Okonkwo. So, yeah, a lot of positions still up in the air and still need to be filled, whether that goes through the draft or whether that goes through free agency.
Now, what do you believe will be a success for the Titans' first-year coach, Robert Saleh? Is it the development, the further development of Cam Ward? Is it playoffs for this team? Or is it just the development of the whole team?
Yeah, well, I think if you have a poor year, you know, I think if they have, five wins, something like that, I think you better at least make sure you've made great strides with Cam Robinson, Cam Ward, because obviously he is the key to the future of this franchise at this point. So, you know, again, maybe if the more wins you get, the more likely Cam Ward is to be playing better. But at the same time, you can get away with him not being an outstanding quarterback if you somehow find a way to get a 500 record, even without him not putting up great numbers. So, you know, I think there's certainly a honeymoon year for Robert Saleh. If he can improve on what Cam Ward did in his rookie year, you know, if he can take a step up in leap two, I don't know if we can expect a Drake May step up in year two, but you know, a significant move in the right direction, I think, is key. And if he can throw in about three or four more wins or something like that, I think that's I think that would be recognized as good progress overall for this team.
We'll talk with John Glennon. Now, John, I want to swing on over to the basketball court, the Vanderbilt Commodores. Will it be a bigger surprise if you see Tyler Tanner enter to the draft or if he stays and chooses to transfer?
Yeah, that's a great question. On one hand, he has done – there's really not a lot he can prove on the college level that he didn't show last year. You know, there were no real holes in his game outside of what he really can't help, which is size. You know, maybe you could argue if he stays another year, you know, he adds a little bit of muscle, he becomes a little bit better defensive player, but certainly offensively, boy, there was not much he couldn't do last year, whether it was shooting the three, whether it was driving the lane and scoring against bigger defenders, whether it was setting other players up for offense. He really showed so much. And, you know, you have to wonder, you know, I'm sure Mark Byington has been very successful in the portal the last couple of years of adding players, but, you know, where they stand right now, there's not a ton of returning talent right now. And if you're Tyler Tanner, are you wondering, hey, you know, if I come back and the team's not going to be as good, you know, am I risking, you know, losing some of my leverage for the NBA draft the following year? Am I going to drop some spots because of that? So I don't know. Yeah, I guess in theory he could come back and transfer as well. You would think the fact that he is a Brentwood native maybe plays a role in sticking around if he does decide to steer clear of the NBA. Maybe Mark Byington can lay out a plan for him and say, hey, look, we're going to, just as we did the last 2 years, we're going to score in the portal. You're going to have a good team to be around. This is your hometown. Stay with us. You know, so maybe that will help as well. But, boy, great question right there. Because another thing to point out with Tyler Tanner, too, is that when you look at a lot of the mock drafts right now, he's being forecast right near the end of the first round or the beginning of the second. And really, there's a significant drop-off in terms of money and in terms of security, in terms of guarantees, you know, from a first round to a second round. So maybe Tyler Tanner thinks to himself, okay, if I stick around and I have a really good third year, you know, then I can improve my stock in the you know, following a junior year, and I'm guaranteed to be in that first round for sure, and that would help my money situation, help my my guarantees in the contract as well. So, quite a decision for Tyler Tanner and how it will impact the Doors.
John Glennon is with us from the Nashville Post, joining us on the show here. And John, it is just awesome to hear your voice. I love what you were able to update all of our listeners on, that you've been keeping us up to speed on behind the scenes. So glad you're doing well and back at work. I want to pick your brain on a, you know, your experience as a beat writer. Adam kind of made the case that the hot goaltender in Justus Annunen, who played just out of his mind the other night, a phenomenal performance, a 43-save shutout. He made the case for Annunen to start tonight, a huge game with four games left in the season. You certainly know what it's like to walk up to a coach and say, who's your goalie tonight and what went into the decision? Because I'm sure this wasn't a no-brainer like it normally would be. But, yeah. So what are your thoughts on this situation?
I lean towards my friend, Mr. Vingan there. I think I would probably stick with Justus Annunen there tonight. You know, as you said, and maybe in years past, it would kind of be a no-brainer type decision. You know, Juuse Saros is the guy. You know, he's had some couple big wins already in this road trip. So you stick with Juuse Saros. But, you know, I don't think that's been as much the case this year. You know, I think we've seen Justus Annunen get a fair amount of playing time. You look back even in the last five appearances for each of the goalies, I looked at it, and of course, Juuse Saros is 3-1-1, as I said. You know, some big wins, certainly, you know, in that shootout win over the Kings when he had the eight stops in the shootout, that was a highlight. But his, you know, his save percentage over the last five, a 3-1-1 record and an 8.95 or 8.96 save percentage, average, you know. You look at Justus Annunen in the last five, so this is not just saying, hey, he had a tremendous game the other night. His last five games, he's 3-2. He's got a 9.49 save percentage in the last five games. So this isn't just a one game, wow, you know, how did he do that kind of thing. I would stick with him, I think, in this situation. I think, though Juuse Saros has been good on the road trip, there have been certainly some instances in a couple games where there have been some goals I think he'd like to have back. I'd go with the man who just gave you a shutout and was the first shutout in 121 games or so for the Predators. You know, give him the net and see if he can produce something anywhere near similar to what he did his previous night out in Anaheim.
Needless to say, that the league is being covered a little differently these days than it was back when you started covering the beat and you were traveling to most of the road trips, and Adam was traveling a lot too. But so maybe this question is for both of you guys. This is a good example this morning. I'm sure this discussion would be had in the media scrum, but they're literally, especially with Utah doing their morning skate in a different building, nobody's really asking the question of you know, what went into the decision. So it's kind of interesting how you have to sort of have these discussions without really getting the firsthand input from the coach.
Yeah, it is, and certainly, you know, if you're a reporter on hand who's just covered the league, you know, you can look for the telltale signs. You know, of course, you know, which goalie is off the ice during, if you're looking, which goalie is first off the ice during a morning skate, generally is going to be your starter. You know, and usually if you pepper the coach with enough questions, even if he doesn't tell you straight out, and a lot of coaches these days, I don't think it's like the old days, a lot of coaches these days will tell you, you know, okay, so-and-so starting. It's not quite as difficult to pry it out as it was, you know, back in the day when it was, you know, nuclear arms type secrets, trying to get the starting goalie, that kind of thing. So I think they're generally more likely to give that information out. Maybe not during the playoffs, if there's any controversy there. Playoffs are still a different story. But during the regular season, it's not quite as tough. But yeah, especially if you're the road fans looking for answers these days, there's just not as many NHL reporters that are traveling and asking the questions that bring about the answers that fans want to know. So it's a little bit more of a challenge to dig that up.
John Glennon of the Nashville Post has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. John, as Willie said, I second it, and Derek thirds
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
We're so glad that you're doing well. We're so glad to hear your voice. We're so glad you're covering Nashville sports again. We'll have to do this again soon.
I love it. Thanks for all the praise and the good words, guys. I appreciate it, and looking forward to, as you say, to doing it again here.
615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans. I heard our friend Teron Davenport had a spicy, impassioned take on something we've discussed this week on Next Man Up. We will play that and discuss it coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.